1 Peter chapter number 5, if you would please look in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, you've given me to preach. Father, I ask that you please do a work this day that only you can do. Father, hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say, and we'll thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to talk this morning about reality. Reality. You know, there's a lot of fake things in the world today. There's a lot of things that we hear, a lot of things that are going on that just aren't real. There's a lot of things that are said that's been going on that just aren't real. Let me tell you something this morning. This book is real. Amen. The God of this book is real, and this book contains the truth. And what is going to be preached today from this book is the truth, and it can help you today. And so just to get started, I just want to talk about the reality of our dangerous enemy. The reality of our dangerous enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, that our adversary is the devil. And he is a roaring lion, it says, walking about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour, I looked it up the other day just to get a clearer definition of what it meant. The word devour means to eat up greedily or ravenously, to use up or destroy, to prey upon, to enjoy avidly. So we see, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, that the devil's intent for our lives, for the lives of not only just Christians, but for the lives of everybody in the world, is to devour and to destroy people's lives. Flip on over, if you would, please, to the book of Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. We're talking about a dangerous enemy. Luke chapter number 22. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's talking to Peter about things that are going to happen. The Bible says in verse number 31 of chapter 22 in Luke, says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The word sift means to separate or remove, to go through very carefully to find something valuable. You see, Satan's desire is not to help people. Satan's desire is to sift through them, to separate and remove the things from their life to find something valuable that he can use for himself. You see, Satan's desire is not to help you. Satan's desire is to hurt you. Satan's desire is to destroy your life. And young people, let me tell you something. Satan has gotten a hold of far too many people. He is, and you know, he is so tricky, because what he does is he's trying to get people to believe that this word is not true. He's trying to get people to believe that God is not real. He's trying to get people to believe that we just came from a big bang, and you know, it's just not so. Satan is trying to devour our lives, and he wants to drag us down. Nothing about Satan is up. Satan only desires to drag you farther down. But God, on the other hand, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 41 that if we wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. So everything about God is up. Everything about God is more. But when we're talking about Satan right now, he desires to destroy our lives. Desire to sift through us and to destroy and rip apart everything that God has for us. So we have a dangerous enemy. Number two, moving quickly, we have a devastating eternity. A devastating eternity. Look in Luke chapter number 16. And this is where we're going to spend the last part of our time here. A devastating eternity. This is a very interesting story in the Bible. And I'm just going to read it. Beginning in verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom." But check this out. "The rich man died also and was buried." Bible says in verse number 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." We're talking about reality, folks. We're talking about the reality of a dangerous enemy, but we're also talking about the reality of a devastating eternity, a place called hell. You see, Satan doesn't want you to go to heaven. Satan doesn't want you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Satan desires for you to go to hell just like where he's going. You see, the Bible says in verse number 23, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. Torments. Plural. Not one torment, torments. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 10. Look over there if you would, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and there and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the Bible says in verse number 10 that it is a lake of fire and brimstone. Torments. Torments. Can you imagine being engulfed in flames constantly, forever and ever? You see, we can't really like picture what forever will be because we're confined in time right now. But if you can just imagine, if you can just close your eyes for a second and just try to think about how long forever is, how long never ending is. We're talking about never ending torment. The rich man in this story is still in hell today. The rich man in the story is still lifting up his eyes, desiring that Lazarus could just dip the tip of his finger in water. You know how much water that is? Not a lot. Not enough to quench my thirst. But this man just desiring just the tip of a finger to be dipped in water to cool his tongue just for a little, just to find some relief. We're talking about torments. Talking about torments. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 9, three different times. In three different verses, verse number 44, verse number 46, and verse number 48, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Never, ever, ever, ever quenched. Never stops. Never stops. Talking about devastating eternity. An eternity that Satan wants you to be a part of. Satan doesn't love you. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. You see, Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry taught more about hell than any other subject. He preached more about hell than anything. And the reason he did was because there was a lost and dying world that needed to know that there was a Savior. And you're going to hear about that in just a minute, but I'm talking about right now that Satan wants you to die and go to hell. You see, the Bible talks about hell was not created for people. Hell wasn't created for us to spend eternity there. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But you know what? Because of our sin, because of our unbelief in Jesus Christ, if we die in our sin and not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to spend eternity in hell.
Right.
And that's the truth. That's reality.
Amen.
That's real. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. But let me tell you something. You don't have to spend eternity there. You don't have to die and go to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ made a way for you to come spend eternity with him. Let me tell you something this morning. If you die in your sin, you are a sinner in the hand of an angry God. God hates sin, but he loves you. Revelation chapter 21. He sent his son to die so that we might go to heaven. And that's what I'm going to talk about, preach about for a few minutes here. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you just to help me as I preach your word, Lord. Hide me behind your cross. Let your message be proclaimed as you would like it to. Just help us to get something from your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, heaven. I want to talk, first of all, the description of heaven. Brother Sam talked about how hell is so horrid and so just horrible. But heaven, you picture it. You at least try to picture it. And you think of the most glorious things that you can think of in your mind, which are earthly. But yet heaven is so much greater. Amen. First of all, about heaven, it's grand. The definition of grand is magnificent and impressing in appearance, size, and style. To think that this definition doesn't even really describe heaven at its best. But heaven is grand. There are three things that is grand about heaven. If you go over to Revelation chapter, or stay in the same chapter, verse 21, we read some wonderful, amazing things about heaven here. It says in verse 21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl." I know girls like wearing pearls or necklaces that have the pearl type stuff on. Could you imagine having a pearl the size of a gate? And I mean, heaven is humongous. Okay, if you read your Bible, you'll see how big it is. Imagine the size of the gate that had to be for thousands and thousands of Christians to be coming in. The size of the gate. Man, it's just amazing. But then you go on. There's the pearls, but then there is the street of the city was pure gold. And it doesn't just stop there. As it were transparent glass. As though I was looking in a mirror. Can you imagine that? I mean, how many of y'all seen gold? Okay. Gold, and you've seen it, and it looks beautiful. But to think that heaven, where everything is pure, our God, a pure God, created, and it's even purer than the gold that we've seen on this earth. It is just so magnificent. But also the saints that are praising God. We see in Revelation 19, verse 6, says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Praise the Lord. Heaven is going to be grand. It's also going to be glorious. Two things real quick, and I'm almost done. Glorious because of the person there. You think of how glorious our God is. Man. But the person there, two things about that person there is his love. He loves us, but also I'm talking about his bride. His love. The church, the Christians. Imagine how glorious that's going to be, but also his light. He is the light of the world. Praise the Lord. His light is the glory of God, but also his grace. Then, so we see somewhat to a human extent of how we can describe by reading God's word the description. But I want to see the distinction real quick. The distinction of heaven. The distinction, a definition of distinction is a difference or contrast between similar things or people. We live on this earth. And we see all the trials and tribulations and troubles. But in heaven, there will be no more. You go back over here with me to Revelation 21, where we read our text. And the last part of this says, "And there was no more sea." Now, don't take me as though I'm taking away from the Word of God, but if you read that, say, "And there was no more." No more. There's going to be no more, there's no more sea, as the Bible says. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering, no sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to fall down and have to get back up again because I messed up. Praise the Lord. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more of that junk. Amen. But no pain, no suffering. If you turn over real quick, verse 4 of chapter 21, and it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You think about those former things, it's talking about even sin. But the best part I like is there's going to be no more Satan. Praise the Lord. That ugly snake is not going to raise his head anymore. He's not going to try to tempt us to do anything. He's not going to get others to fall. There's going to be no more Satan. Amen. But just to think, heaven. And to our
minute ability of trying to describe it by reading the Word of God. But it's just going to be, there's going to be no more problems. But you have a decision. But the Sam has talked about hell, the reality of it. Heaven, you now have the reality of it. And the Bible says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, please, real quickly. We'll get right into this thing. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Don't worry about standing. We're going to move right along. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. The Bible says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same time scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, this is the man that Philip is talking to, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's pray, and then we'll turn to another scripture real quick. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless me today. Lord, help me to say what you want me to say, Lord, not what I want to. And may the words that you have for the people here today resonate in their hearts, and Lord, that they would make the right decision and accept you as their Savior. Thank you for it. In your name we pray. Now turn over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 22. Verse 22, the Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing. I believe this is Paul speaking here. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Verse 27, real quick. King Agrippa is the man that Paul is talking to here. Verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So here are two men in the Bible that were both presented with the gospel and had a choice to make. And these men represent the choice that you have to make today. Maybe you've already made the choice. And listen, this preaching today isn't just for the lost people. Us saved people can get something from it too. Amen. When they start talking about heaven and hell, you know, that should give us a desire to tell people about it. Amen. But anyway, these men represent the choice you have to make. We saw in Acts chapter 8, one man accepted the Savior and today is in heaven, as Brother Tyler talked about, and the other man, King Agrippa, said, almost thou persuadest me. And I believe today is burning in the same flames that Brother Sam just talked about just a minute ago. Now I see three things in these passages that apply, that these men had the choice. These three things are in this passage and apply also to our lives today. First, I see the call. Today, God, Pastor Roth talked about it in Sunday school. God is calling. God is talking to your heart right now. You don't know him as your Savior. I know there's people in here that do not know the Lord as their Savior. And God is calling you right now. He has tugged on your heart, and he, you know in your heart, you just feel it. You're hearing, you know that God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to heaven, and you know in your heart, that's me, I need that. You can feel it. Yeah. Today, God is calling. Will you please listen? Yeah. You know, well, how do I? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So therefore, we have all sinned. And another verse, I'm not going to read it. I'm trying to get done here. That the wages of sin is death. So therefore, we're going to that place called hell because we have sinned, and that's what we deserve as sinners. But the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, while we were sinners, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. And Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now this leads to our next point. There's a call. God is talking to your heart today. Please listen and hear what he has to say for you. And as Brother Tyler said, as he closed out his message with, you have a choice to make now. God is calling you, and now you must make a choice. Both of these men were presented with the gospel, as we saw. And the one man, the eunuch, the man that Philip was talking to, he accepted. He realized his need, said, man, I got to get this settled. And like, see, there's water to be baptized. Whoa, you got to get saved first. And he got that settled. You need to do that today if you do not know him as your Savior. But just think about the other man, King Agrippa. He couldn't get past his pride. And you know something? One day sitting in camp, I have no clue how much time I have left. I'll try to hurry. I saw that same need. I had to get past my pride. I was a preacher's kid sitting in camp. I had started preaching. The problem was I answered the wrong call first. I wasn't saved yet. I was preaching. I was serving in the church. I was a preacher's kid. I had professed faith before. God tugged on my heart. You have to get past your pride. Don't let King Agrippa sit here and say, almost thou persuadest me, and die and go to hell. See, you can only do one or the other. There's no in between. There's no gray. It's black and white. Either you're saved or you're not. You can't leave here and say, oh, well, I'll think about it. Because in doing so, you've made your choice and you've rejected Jesus Christ. One or the other. And lastly, real quickly, finishing up, these choices lead to the last point. When you make the choice, there's a consequence. We see the other man Philip was talking to, when he accepted the Lord, as I said earlier, today he's in heaven. I believe that. He got saved, he's in heaven. The other man, almost. That leads to hell. Now I must ask you, in which of these two places will you be a million years from now? As Brother Sam, I believe as Brother Sam said, just think of how long eternity is. Millions of years from now, where will you be? Choose carefully. Don't just make a hasty decision because, you see, this affects your life after this life is over. Listen to this poem. Oh soul, why do you wait to accept the Lord who paid the price so great? Why do you linger in the paths of sin when from your wicked ways you may be cleansed? What will be your fate? 'Twill be hell if too long you wait. Don't you care about your soul? Just let the Savior make you whole. Oh soul, why do you wait? Accept him now before too late. Please listen to the words that have been said today. And don't wait too long or you might find yourself lifting your eyes up in hell, being in torments, and whispering to yourself, almost, almost. Dear Lord, I pray that you would tug on the hearts of the people, Lord. Help them to respond to your calling to their heart today, Lord. May your will be done in this invitation. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads just for a moment. You've heard three excellent messages. I think back at when God was speaking to my heart as a lost man going to church, a lost young man going to church. I remember the preaching on hell, and I remember the preaching on heaven. And I remember how that had such a big effect on my life. And Brother Cody ended it well. He took us to two men in the book of Acts. Both were given the gospel. One of them jumped at the chance to be saved, wanted to be saved, embraced salvation, laid aside their pride. The other one was too worried about what everybody around him might think or say. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to encourage you to be saved today. And we have been praying for you. And you say, preacher, you don't even know me. Yeah, but we've been praying for weeks now that God would bring you here and that your heart would be tender to the gospel. I remember what it was like to walk into church lost. I remember what it's like to remember what it was like to hear the gospel and feel the Holy Spirit tug on my heart and know that I needed to make a decision. And if you are feeling the Lord speak to your heart this morning, I want you to know that there's people around here that love you and they're praying for you. You may be able to say, preacher, I can remember back. I know for sure that I have accepted Christ as my Savior. There's no doubt about that in my mind. If you have that assurance, that's a wonderful thing. But if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen carefully what I'm going to say. If you have to say, preacher, the honest truth is, I don't know for sure what would happen if I was to die right now, but God is speaking to my heart. I know I need to do something about this. I'm going to, just a minute, lead us in a word of prayer, and I want to pray for you if you're not saved. And by the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name out. But I would like to see your hand and know who you are and and in just a moment pray and ask God to continue to do a great work of grace in your heart and give you the courage to do the right thing. If you're here this morning, you would have to say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like you to pray for me about that, because God is working in my heart about it." Would you just slip your hand up real quick so I can see that? "I'm not saved, preacher, but God is working on my heart." Would you raise your hand real quickly and let me have the opportunity to pray for you? God bless you. Somebody else, God bless you. Somebody else. "Preacher, that's me. I'm not saved. Or I don't think I'm saved, but I know God's working on my heart right now." Would you slip your hand up so I can say a prayer for you? Anybody else? God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come and be in this service. Thank you for the courage, Lord, the conviction, and dear God, the sweet service of the young people. And Lord, it's spoken to all of our hearts. And I pray now, Lord, as we give the invitation, that, dear God, you would move in the hearts of each and every one here, Lord. If there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, and by uplifted hand, dear God, those, thank you for them. I want to pray specifically, dear God, for them and ask, dear Lord, that you would work in their hearts in a wonderful way and give them the courage to step out and make the decision to be saved today. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for the young people and their testimony. We pray these things in Jesus' name.